Hey everybody, welcome to Matt and Dory's Excellent Adventure. I'm Matt.
I am Dory.
1 week into 2024, we're back. Things are happening. I would say the Santa Ana winds have been kicking up. Chilly one out here.
My parents are here. Mm-hmm. They live in Boston, Massachusetts, which is an objectively colder climate than where we live.
Correct.
And they were like, it's freezing.
It's a different...
The cold hits different here.
It does for a couple of reasons, I think, personally.
Yes, let's see if I'm ready. Right.
I will expound.
Okay.
You're never dressed for it.
Correct.
And you're usually wearing a lighter everything. Like a lighter pant, a lighter shirt, a lighter jacket. And with the wind factor, mm-hmm. it cuts right through you.
Well, whereas and also
back east.
Yes. Yeah, go ahead. Well, I was just going to say also our homes are not equipped for it. Like our homes are not insulated in the same way that houses in the Northeast are.
Right. Which we're thankful for when it's, 120 degrees.
Right, but not when it's 48 and windy.
Whatever. Yes, I wore shorts today. Dory thought I was crazy.
I did think you were crazy. I mean, Henry.
Great shorts weather.
Henry is always like, I'm never cold. And like, it's hard to get him to put on a sweatshirt.
Big talk.
Absolutely refused to wear a jacket today. And we were at the park. I should have just brought his jacket. That was my bad. But he was like, I'm cold. I want to go home.
I think had you had his jacket, he would have still probably wanted to go home.
Yeah, you're probably right. All right. I feel a little better. Thanks.
You took Henry to a puppet show.
I did. An iconic Los Angeles institution called Bob Baker's Marionette Theater.
I always forget it's the title. So when I was asking what kind of puppets, it was a foolish question.
It was, but I let you ask it anyway.
No one was answering me, and it was very annoying. I was like, wait, what kind of puppets were they? Well, you could see the performers. I was like, so they're marionettes?
Yes.
And then I was like, what?
Okay. Yes. Took Henry and my parents to their Nutcracker performance, which is, their holiday show that runs from like November to the middle of January.
Mm-hmm.
It was delightful. It's like, it's such a... Matt, I feel like you would like it, like just in the sense of it's got like almost like an old Disneyland kind of charm to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very sweet and the puppets are pretty cool. And they give out ice cream after the end of the show.
That's cute. I've never heard anything bad about it.
Yeah. So maybe next time you will come with us.
What's funny is I was tasked with replacing a toilet seat because one of the bathroom toilet seats broke. So I ordered two because I was like, I'll replace that one, the one that's broken, and then I'll replace the one in Dory and I's bedroom because that one is like rusting. It's just the hinge. I'm like, this is ridiculous. So I got two new ones, and of course, one of them worked, but the other one's the wrong size. And the one that's the wrong size is the one that's actually broken. Not the one that I was like just looking to refresh. Also, the bolts are plastic now.
Oh, so no rusting.
Finally, they figured this out. Way to go, Kohler.
Yeah.
But
you did also figure out that we need an entirely new towel rack.
Yeah, I patched the wall and then I tried to use the old hardware for the old, towel rack, which I broke when I was like, I was leaning on it to like take a sock off or something. One of those classic, like lean on the thing that really should only support the weight of a towel.
Mm-hmm.
And I broke it. It's been broken for
months.
What, 8 months?
No. But a I long time.
It. Yeah. So I patched the wall. Then I was going to use the old hardware. Then I tried it and it doesn't work. So I just need to get a new one.
Yeah. All right.
I don't know where these yawns are coming from. It's very strange. Like, I wasn't yawning. We were just sitting in the dining room together, and I wasn't yawning. Yeah,
you weren't yawning. Maybe I'm putting you to sleep. And now I come out here.
Is it because I'm just wondering if it's, like, because I'm cold?
No, cold usually wakes you up.
Yeah, but doesn't your body go, like, let's yawn to get some heat going?
I don't think that's
no one knows why. Scientists don't know why you yawn, so whatever.
Right.
If you're a scientist and you know why we yawn, let us know.
We are curious. So, yeah. You are not you are not playing golf for a little while.
Uh-huh.
I feel like this is an interesting thing to talk about.
Friday, I played golf during the day, and it just took so long, and it just, like, sucked up so much of the day, and I just was like, this is ridiculous. I'm getting nothing done. And I really want to fix the toilet slash clean up before Dory's parents get here. So decided that I'm not going to be playing golf until my script is done. So we'll see what happens to my handicap.
I bet it will be fine.
My handicap or the script?
I'm hoping that you're handicapped. Your handicap will be fine, gotcha. I think.
It's 7.3 right now. We'll see what it gets to, everybody. That's just a guesstimate from my watch, my Garmin watch / clubs.
Wow.
Yeah, because I feel like it does during the day. When I golf in the very early morning, I do find myself extremely tired. But that said, sometimes I'm woken up earlier by Henry.
Mm.
I mean, not sometimes, all the time.
You are. It's true.
He's a little too freewheeling with that now.
Yeah, because you didn't set any boundaries with him. He just takes advantage of your goodwill.
No, we set
the boundary.
We set the bounty to $500. No, we set the boundary of 5:50 a.m. for the days, for Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday. Uh-huh. That's when we can turn the TV on.
Right.
And now he comes out at 5 whatever. And here's the thing. I have a better chance of going back to sleep if I turn the TV on than I do if I keep saying no to him, because he comes back every 6 minutes to ask. So I don't really know how to set that boundary. So if you have any ideas, I'm open to them. Talking to you, Dodo.
Yeah, I'm thinking. I think the only thing that would work is you kind of calmly making him go back to his room and, like, really not letting him come out and saying, this is not an option anymore. The TV does not go on until 5:50.
I mean, I've kind of been telling him that.
But kind of been telling him is not the same as telling him and enforcing it. Sounds like you're not enforcing it.
He wakes me up.
I understand that.
And the point is, I'd like to sleep.
Yes, I get that.
How do I avoid getting woken up by Henry?
I think you need to start by, like, making it not appealing for him. Right now, he knows that after, like, a minute, you're going to cave. So, like, of course, he's going to keep doing what he's doing.
Even today, he woke me up.
Yeah, I know, because
even though the grandparents are here.
Yes.
And I'm like, dude, go see Nana and Subba. And then he comes back after what I don't know, because I fell and I sort of drifted back to sleep. He comes back and he's like, Nana and I did blah, blah, blah. Can I watch TV? Can I watch Number Blocks? It's like, what is happening? And then I'm like, he's like, can you make me breakfast? Can you make a Raisin Toast? And I'm like, have Nana or Subba make you Raisin Toast. And he's like, they won't let me eat it. And I'm like,
what?
He was positive they wouldn't let him have Raisin Toast.
I don't think that that's
I mean, true. I think that's just classic your parents.
Maybe, but I'm
you
just...
You don't think it's true that he
I'm
said
just,
that?
I'm just saying...
I told
saying,
you that no, earlier no, today.
I know, I didn't say I don't think it's true that he said that. I'm saying I don't think it's true that they wouldn't have...
I don't either. That's why I sent him back to do that. Right. And then I never made him Raisin Toast. So I don't know what happened because I fell asleep. I assume he got Raisin Toast.
I'm just saying that you telling him not to wake you up without like backing it up is toothless. It's pointless. You're not like you can't expect a 4-year-old to just like respect your boundary because you just say it. Like you have to actually.
How do I back it up? While still being asleep.
Maybe Think you go it. Maybe you go into another room. Maybe you go into the playroom, sleep in the playroom.
Well, that's me getting up and going somewhere. That's me getting up. This okay. is all me getting up. Every option is me getting up. And then by that point, I'm like, this is pointless.
That, I should just turn the TV on. But that is how, I'm saying that's how you have to start it. Maybe that's how you do it for a few days. And then he gets the point. You have to break this habit, is what I'm saying. You've conditioned him. You've conditioned him.
Here's the way to break the habit for realsies. Starting the night, next night our bed is free. I'm there. Then he has to come in and wake up both of us.
Okay.
And then you'll see what it's like.
Well, I will not have slept because you will have kept me awake with your snoring. So,
interesting. Have I kept you awake this week? And
I heard it a little bit, but I did have what I now think are better earplugs than the ones that I had been using. They randomly came with my eye mask. And I was in a separate room with the door closed. But I could still hear it.
That you could hear it.
Yes.
I don't know what the answer is.
Do you want to try sleeping in our bedroom and I can sleep in the playroom?
No.
Why not?
I mean, the real answer is I'll just blow up that mattress and sleep in my office.
No, that's so depressing.
Oh, and the current sleeping arrangement is not depressing?
I mean, it is, but this is even more depressing. This is like so depressing.
Plus, if I'm in my office,
I can't handle it.
He can't, he's like, that's another barrier for him. He can't get in here. He'd be like, what's he going to do?
I mean, maybe, I don't
know. The other day he locked himself outside at like 4:50 in the morning.
Oh no.
And I was like, oh, thank God. I'm like, thank God I was awake enough to let him back in. I don't know if he was checking on the rain or if he went to go pee. I don't know. I forget.
Oh, boy.
But I do remember going, oh, my God. Although I think eventually he would have found the side door, but whatever.
Right.
Because you had locked the back door because the back door keeps blowing open because of these Santa Ana winds.
Yes. Yes.
And then the front door locked behind him because he was playing with the lock. Anyway. Whatever.
He's out of control.
Dodo.
Yes.
What was your favorite thing this week?
My favorite thing this week. You know, I wrote every day.
Mm-hmm.
So that felt good. It's been nice having my parents here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are all good, both good things. What about you?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. I should have been prepared for because I already asked it of you. It's a really good question. I don't know. What was my favorite thing last week? What did I do? I mean, the writing every day sounds amazing. Because I'm jealous of that. And like even last night you were writing, which I was impressed by.
Because I came and
writing in the dining room. I was like, whoa, it's amazing.
I joined an accountability workshop.
Tell me more. This is what my therapist and I are always talking about. I need accountability. Well, tell me more about this.
So there's a fiction writer named Annie Hartnett who wrote a book called Rabbit Cake that came out like right around when Startup came out. And I did an event with her in Portland, Maine.
Yes, I remember this.
And she and another writer a couple years ago started being, or maybe it was a few years ago, she and a friend of hers, another writer, started being each other's like accountability buddies. And they wrote out contracts for each other about what they were going to do. And they do a daily check-in. And then a couple years ago, they started doing it for other writers, all kinds of writers, like fiction writers, like TV writers, there's all kinds of writers in these groups. And you pay them $150 a month. There's meetings twice a month. And then you also write out a contract that says, like, this is what I'm going to do. And on the days that you do it, you email, they have an email address that is specifically just to check in. And you just email them, done, if you have fulfilled the terms of your contract for that day. So, like, my contract says, during the week, like on weekdays, I'm going to write for two hours or 1,000 words, whichever comes first. And on the weekends, I'm just going to write for 10 minutes. That's all I need to do. I just need to write for 10 minutes. Because weekends are just like, they're hard with Henry and like all the stuff going on. So I'm like, but you know what? I need to get in the habit of writing every day. Because it's when I decide to just write when like the muse strikes, I'm like waiting around for a muse that like doesn't want to show up. Yeah. But when I'm writing every day, it's like, okay, gotta write. Like, this is what I'm doing. And there is something very satisfying about being able to be like, done, just email this out. And then they write back, check. And that's it.
It sounds amazing.
Do you want to join?
What are the terms of the contract?
You come up with them. I'll send you mine. I could help you. I could help you come up with it.
What happens if you breach your contract?
I mean, nothing, except you don't finish.
This is a problem.
What you were going to do.
Here's what I think it should be. If you breach your contract, that month costs $300.
I mean, they could probably arrange that with you.
It's interesting. How? I mean, other than your word, they don't know that you've done it.
Yes.
That's interesting. I think I like this idea. We could have just done it with each other and saved $150 a month.
No, but if you've ever read Gretchen Rubin, you know that obligers, which is what you are, they can't feel accountable to someone who is close to them.
That's not true. The strictest I ever was on any diet was Whole30 because I assumed you were as well. So I was like,
but we were doing it. We're not going to cheat. We were doing it together. Like,
yeah, but wouldn't we be right? I mean, we're writing together, meaning that we're both writing.
Well, if you want,
we're both trying to write ourselves into work.
We can be accountability buddies. I can also be your accountability buddy and I can be accountable to you. You know what I mean? Like, I can check in with you and with these other people.
Yeah. I mean, even if it was like, 90 minutes a day would be
great.
More than
I'm going to send you the contract that I wrote up for myself, and I would like you to write a contract and send it to me.
Interesting. Guys, this is kind of a cliffhanger. Tune in next week. See how this went.
Yep.
In the meantime,
see how this went.
We are going to take a break because we are accountable
to you,
the advertisers. We will be right back.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
We're back. I haven't written a word since we took that break, but I have the intention to do it.
Okay.
Write. I mean, not to write during the break. That time is gone.
Wow, that's true. That you'll never get that time back.
Let's do the thing where we tell people they can write in at DoryMatt@gmail, MattandDory@gmail. Yeah. They can leave a voicemail, 413-461-BABY.
They can do that.
You can leave a voice memo.
Yep.
Like our bestie in Boulder often does. Mm-hmm. Audio quality is better and you can go for longer.
That's what she said? What? No.
Audio quality is better is where that falls apart. Sure. So, a valiant attempt at a silly, silly joke. Now, let's see here.
Shall we?
The podcast notes up. I just wanted to check to see what voicemails I should be pulling.
None. None, Matt. No voicemails. Yes.
Okay. That's okay. Let's do it.
Okay.
We'll do this show. We'll do the regular show.
All right.
Fuck it. We'll do it live.
Yeah.
All right. To play us out. What does that mean?
What? Okay. This is from Rachel. Hey, guys. Yes. I've been listening since the beginning and paused the pod to write after your latest episode. I used Omnitrope. I did 4 retrievals with pretty dismal outcomes. Only ever got 1 blast on average per cycle. Severe MFI. Had to fresh transfer because the embryos weren't good enough quality to freeze, which resulted in my son. We decided to try for a second child and my RE put me on Omnitrope. I had 4 mature eggs. We transferred 2 day 3 embryos, which worked before, and I ended up with 2 high quality frozen blasts after that. I've literally had nothing make it to a freezer ever. And this round worked as well, and I had a second baby. My husband has azoospermia and this was frozen Tessie sperm. So the same batch as the last time. My RE said they had seen amazing outcomes with Omnitrope. It was new in Canada when I used it. Also about breastfeeding and doing an ER egg retrieval. I know the caller didn't ask for advice, but here's my 2 cents anyways. My son was 13 months when we did another egg retrieval. I'm at a very large fertility clinic with many REs at a teaching hospital. My RE was totally fine with all of the meds and me continuing to breastfeed. I personally wouldn't wean as my goal was to make it to 2 years. We hit 3 years. And they were very supportive of breastfeeding. You guys are awesome. My son is the same age as Henry, and it's a wild time. Thanks for continuing the pod, Rachel. Now, Rachel wrote back and said, hi, it's Rachel again. I was thinking about the last email I sent, and my miracle drug was Recovel instead of Omnitrope. I used Omnitrope for the 4 not great cycles, and the new drug that had come out between 2019 and 2021 was Recovel, so maybe not podcast relevant. I also forgot my stats. 2 adults and 2 science babies in a 1,200 square foot house in Ontario. zero hot dogs, one 30-inch-ish TV. We're pretty minimalist and still feel like we have a good amount of space. Take care.
Oh, tell us about that, huh?
Good amount of space?
Yeah, and being a minimalist.
I decided that we need...
Dory solved the problem, actually.
We need 50%. We need 50% less stuff, and Bingo. We need 50% more closet space.
Bingo. This is that's a double bingo.
That is the formula that would make our lives amazing.
50% less stuff. It's like theoretically, it sounds great. There is like a real like I don't know. There's like a freedom
to it.
Yes, but there's a true desire to have that happen.
Mm-hmm.
But also like a laziness. Maybe it's not lazy. Maybe lazy is the wrong word, but it's like
an inertia.
It's overwhelming.
It is overwhelming.
You know?
It is overwhelming.
And a lot of the stuff that I have, I've like sort of quote unquote collected. So to that, there's like a little bit of I want to get rid of this stuff, but I don't want to just throw it out. I'd like to sell it, but that takes time. You know what I mean? It's that kind of thing.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think that was why years ago when we had that organizer, it was so helpful.
Because they took stuff.
They took stuff.
Yeah.
And they helped us. She helped us like be a little bit more objective about getting rid of stuff. Like, you know, like she was like, I don't know. She helped me take some of the emotion out of it, I guess, is what I mean.
Well, I mean, I think emotion is the wrong word when I'm talking about the, like, for instance, all the putters that I have.
Mm-hmm.
They're all, although I got rid of like 5 last week, actually, now that I think about it. The golf bags. This is okay. I have a lot of golf bags. You know,
mm-hmm.
And it's the like you can't like take a golf bag. I don't think you can take a golf bag to like Roger Dunn and like trade it in, even though some of them have barely been used. And it's something that would take up so much space in our trash barrel that I will never throw it out.
Well, yeah, I don't think we should be throwing out brand new trash bag. I mean, brand new golf bags.
Well, some of the I'm not talking about the like. What about the old ones? You know what I mean?
I bet someone would either buy them or we could give them away in our buy nothing group. Hmm. Easily.
Well, that's the effort where I'm like, ugh.
If you give
like,
me...
a couple of them are like, you know, I've got like 3 or 4 swag bags, golf bags.
Mm-hmm.
From the company that makes the head covers and the putters that I really like. And those are, you know, those are somewhat expensive and... I need to sell. And then I'm like, well, how do I ship that? I don't have the boxes anymore. Anyway, this is like,
look, we could figure it out.
Problem. We could figure it out.
We could figure this out.
But I'm like, I mean, I'm kind of into the idea of selling things. Like I've been selling stuff on eBay lately and that's been going okay.
I would say it's going pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, it's going. I say that like that because I haven't listed any baseball cards yet, and like, that's what I really want to get rid of. Even though, but I will say this: baseball cards take up a hell of a lot less space.
This is true. This is very true.
Anyway, okay, that was a long-winded peek inside my cluttered brain.
See, but I feel like your brain would feel less cluttered if we got rid of stuff.
Oh, for sure. I don't even have a direct. I don't even like if I wanted to blow that mattress up in here. I don't think I have enough space on the floor to move it. To put it down. I'd have to move things.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
You know what we need to do?
Why did I decide I would like to collect golf bags?
I don't know.
They're so big.
You've guitars, golf bags. Like, do you see a theme here? Large,
no,
hard to store things.
This is what I like to collect.
Yes.
large, hard to store things.
Yes.
I was like, yeah, I really need that Masters bag that TaylorMade released last year, so I'll get it.
No.
And then I got it, and I used it a couple of rounds, and then I was like, this bag's too big. It's a staff bag. I don't have a caddy.
No, you don't. You need to sell it. You need to sell all this stuff. Oh, but what I was going to say is,
Is there a sellability workshop you know about also?
We should have an estate sale.
Pretend we've died.
Yes.
Okay, I like it. Who's in charge of the estate sale?
We'll hire someone.
Great. Should we just pretend we died?
Yes.
What I mean is, like, should we just pretend that this is our father's stuff? Our grandfather had all this stuff.
Yeah, our grandfather had all this stuff, and we're keeping a few, a very select few, very sentimental items that really have, like, a deep personal meaning to us. Yes. And everything else, we're gonna sell.
Yeah, it's wild how many guitar pedals and guitars.
Your grandfather loved guitar pedals and guitars. Wow.
My grandfather also loved Eddie Van Halen. It's wild.
Yeah, and you know what? Someone else will love all of those things now, too.
It's really not a bad
idea. And you would really be honoring your grandfather's legacy.
I mean, in the sense of, like, is there, like, it feels like you bring somebody, it feels like you hire somebody to do that for you.
Yes, we would do that, I think.
That's the thing. That's where the appeal comes from.
Yes. I think we could do that.
Interesting. All right. Things are exciting.
Things are happening. Accountability, estate sales. Been,
you know, slowly coming out of this fog of depression.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to say I'm out of it. You're never really out of it. You just sort of, you sort of monitor. But I think part of it too is like the sort of like, I don't know, like the, it's like the, you know, you can sort of tell when I'm trying to break out of it, when I do things like replace toilet seats.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sort of, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
What's the next email?
Well, Matt, the next email is from Amy, and she has a different view on meds and egg retrievals. To the listener last week who asked about weaning her 13-month-old before doing a retrieval, at first, my reaction was to keep breastfeeding, but Dory is right. Those are my three favorite words together. Dory is right.
I know that you think you're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. No one's kidding here. I decided not to wean my now 16-month-old before doing a transfer a few weeks ago. And I feel like there was a sweet spot around 12 or 13 months when she would have been easier to wean. Now she tugs at my shirt and asks to nurse whenever the time is near. My nipples are sore and I need to wean soon, but it's going to be hard. To the listener who asked about donating her extra meds, I have had success both donating and receiving extra meds on the infertility and IVF subreddits. That's a hot tip.
Some subreddits are just too hot to handle, you know?
That's true. That's true. But, you know, the infertility subreddits, I think, are good.
Yeah, I suppose it's the community, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the Red Sox subreddit is like, guys, we're all not collectively jumping off a bridge. What are we doing?
Okay. All right. All right, we're gonna take another break, Matt. It's that time.
Didn't we just do that?
Mm,
show's flying.
The show's Show's flying when you're talking about, you know, getting out of a depression and selling all our stuff.
Oh, man. Hachimachi. That's what I say.
I just gave away some of, like, some of Henry's old baby stuff on our Buy Nothing group, and it felt great.
Yes, you did give them away to a weird British lady.
Hey, she just became a grandmother, okay?
Oh, did she ever?
Wow.
What's good enough for her grandchild is trash.
Hey, that's not nice. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay, we have returned, and we have an email from Lauren. Hi, Matt and Dory. I love the new Benihana Christmas Eve tradition. I also empathize with the painful search for a reliable and accessible recipe for the casual cinnamon roll baker. Here is one that has yet to disappoint in this household, and it is from a website called Cooking Classy. And what is so funny about this is I used two of Cooking Classy's recipes for dinner tonight. I didn't even realize that it was the same website that Lauren in Maryland had recommended for these cinnamon rolls. And you know what? The cod I made was pretty good, and so was the mushroom rice pilaf.
You really have been cooking up a storm the last couple of days. When your parents come in, you're just your dinner machine.
I always cook dinner.
I know, but it just seems like you really pull at all the stops. Like, you decided to go with cod, you know? That's not something you normally would do during the week. If your menu said salmon, it would be salmon.
Well, here's what happened. We were at Trader Joe's, and normally I do just pick up one of their, like, packages of salmon, but I was like, you know, they do say that farm-raised salmon just really is not, it's not great for you. And to be perfectly honest, I don't like the taste of wild salmon.
Whoa, that is scandalous.
It's too salmon-y. So I was like, I don't want wild salmon. Ooh, but they have wild cod. This looks good. And it wasn't expensive because it was at Trader Joe's. And so I was like, I'll do some cod. Let's do cod. And then when I found this cod recipe, I just looked up like cod recipe and this one looked good. And I had a lemon that my weird new tennis coach had given me from his lemon tree. And
but didn't he also give you the most sour?
He also gave me the most sour orange I've ever had in my life. But then the other night he was giving out lemons.
Which you were convinced was a lemon.
That was not a lemon, but this was an actual lemon, and it was a great, it was a very good lemon. So I found this recipe on Cooking Classy, and it was like suggested accompaniments, mushroom rice pilaf. And I was like, well, look at that. I have a whole bag of sliced mushrooms. Listen, pre-sliced mushrooms, you got to go with the pre-sliced mushrooms. It saves so much time. That I'd gotten for the chicken mushroom pasta that I made on Saturday night. I had a whole bag of mushrooms left. I was like, oh, I'll make the mushroom rice pilaf. This looks so good. I love rice pilaf. I love homemade rice pilaf. And so that was that. So I was going, I agree, salmon and cauliflower was on the menu, but that's not what I made. I made cod and mushroom rice pilaf.
Yeah. And then like your pasta thing last night that you made, which looked very good. It must, where'd that come from? Because I saw you you're reading another recipe.
Yes. So that is actually something I've made before. It is a Mark Bittman recipe from the New York Times cooking app. And I love that recipe because I find it to be very like comfort foody. It's like a big pot of noodles and chicken and mushrooms. And you kind of cook it like risotto. Like you add chicken stock gradually and you let it you let the noodles absorb the stock before you add a little bit more stock. So it kind of slow cooks. And then you put the chicken in and it all kind of simmers together. And you grate some Parmesan when it's done. And like, it's just really like warm and comforting. And it just felt like it fit with the weather because it's been cold and windy. And I was like, we need something like a little bit hearty.
That's what
we got. My original plan was that we would go out to dinner with my parents, but Henry was like, no.
I'm not crazy that you threw caution to the wind regarding the menu.
I did.
Okay, thank you.
Except for Friday night. Friday night, I made the chicken Caesar salad that I said I was going to make. Which is to say, I sauteed some chicken breasts and opened a salad kit. A Caesar salad kit.
Trader Joe's, yeah.
Which, look, I love a salad kit.
I mean, they're not the most cost-effective thing, salad kits and chopped mushrooms, because you can save so much money just by cutting up your own.
Guess what?
I'm hearing what?
The sliced mushrooms at Trader Joe's were cheaper than the whole mushrooms. So put those words back in your mouth.
I can't.
Yeah, exactly. So you don't even know what you're talking about.
You know that just heard from Lowell, they got 15 inches of snow.
Wow, that's a lot of inches.
That is 1 foot plus some inches.
Wow.
Thank you. Thank you for also being impressed by that.
That is a lot of inches.
Yeah, for one storm to drop on a place? Yeah. That's crazy. Especially after the last couple of mild winters that they've been claiming to have.
Totally. I agree.
Joke's on you. Winter still exists.
It's still here. All right. Oh, Lauren has one husband, two science babies, one 55-inch TV in our 3,400-square-foot home, and no hot dogs yet in 2024. All right. Lisa wrote in to say,
hi, Matt. I'm also at zero hot dogs.
She said, hi, Matt and Dory. Pause the pod to say the best cinnamon roll recipe is the refrigerated kind from the can. But I'm super impressed with Doreen's baking skills. Thank you. I think Doreen is a good baker. I actually found that we like the Publix brand cinnamon rolls better than Pillsbury. We have lots of Publix grocery stores here in Tennessee, probably not in California. No, we do not have any Publix. But
do you mean like the Publix bakery selection of cinnamon rolls? Or does Publix have their own rising vacuum-sealed batter of cinnamon
rolls? I'll get to that. Publix brand cinnamon rolls are actually more like real cinnamon rolls, rolled up dough, and can be unrolled when you eat them.
You still didn't answer that.
Oh, yeah, you're right. The Pillsbury ones don't do this. My kids like to hold them up in the air with their forks and say, look, Mom, I'm eating a snake.
That is a lot of fun.
Lisa, 3,600 square feet in Nashville, Tennessee, four TVs, maybe a 50-inch in the living room. Two adults, two kids, also no hot dogs yet in 2024.
Lisa, thanks for writing in. Doreen appreciates it.
And then our last text was from Jenna.
Yeah, it was just like an auto type.
I know. I'm just giving you a hard time, Lisa.
How else could she email us if she didn't know how to spell your name?
I know.
Would have gotten a bounce back. Balloons.
Jenna Marie texted us a screen grab of her tweeting at Doug Benson.
Oh, Doug. I miss Doug.
Saying, hey, Doug loves movies. Can you text Matt Myra and ask him to be on the show soon? And Doug responded and said, okay, yeah. I'll reach out. I don't think he'll see this because his last post was in April of 23. And then Jenna Marie wrote, so after listening to Matt say he wouldn't want to reach out and feel needy, I took it upon myself to ask Doug Benson to get Matt back on the show. I hope it works out. Matt, getting back on the podcast circuit is going to help you. I feel it. And then she sent three heart emojis.
I don't disagree. And I think that's one of the nicer things anyone's ever done. Has Doug texted me yet? No. Does Doug have my phone? Yes. Doug was at our wedding, and if I remember correctly, two things happened. He did a show in Vegas, planned it around my wedding.
That's right. That he did do that. Wait, were you in that show?
Which was, it was brilliant. It was a brilliant idea of him. And then I believe, if I remember correctly, I cut our honeymoon a little short so that I could go do a Sketchfest interruption.
Oh my God, that's right. You did.
Because it was 2015. It was Back to the Future 2.
You 2015. Did
yeah.
Do
that. That's right. So I do. I miss Doug.
Wow. You did do that.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. All right.
Whoopsie. I need to get back on the podcast circuit. Yeah. Get me back on the podcast circuit. Tell those doughboys to text me. Get me back on the
Jennery, you are now
get over Matt's, there. Let me get over there.
You're now Matt's booker.
So. What other podcasts have I not done in a while that I'd like to do? Mm-hmm. Hit up Paul. Be like, hey, have Matt back on. How did this get made? You know? These are only people that can text me, because if they're going to tweet at me, I'm never going to see it.
you and Paul text all the time. You could easily text Paul.
Yeah, but that I would have to say that I needed something instead of just being funny about something I saw on the internet. Big difference.
I feel like you could figure it out.
Big, big difference.
You could figure it out.
Thank you.
Okay.
Someone tweet at Matt Gourley and Paul Rust and see if I can get on their podcast.
Oh, my Gourley God. And Rust.
That would be very funny, though.
Now this is pathetic.
Guest on there. But anyway, whatever. Wow. It's okay. Guys, if anybody wants to reach out to anybody on my behalf, go for it. Thank you.
Okay. You heard it here first. All right. Well, Matt, do we have fun facts, or are we pushing those to next week?
You know what? I didn't see it until I sat down here to do the podcast, and I saw it right below.
So
let me just cliffhanger everybody, but next week there are going to be fun facts about Lynn Weisinger, Angie James, Amanda Fujita, Mama Jo, Jennifer H.S., the Kembles, and, of course, Carolyn Land. So tune in for that next week. Those people are better at Patreon than you are. So continue, Dodo.
Okay. Well, if you support us at the $25 level, you can get a fun fact made up by Matt Myra once a month. It's a new fun fact every month. You also get our catalog of Patreon episodes, including our recaps of the Great British Bake Off. Everything else. We do two bonus episodes a month, but you can also just support us at the $5 level or the $1 level. The $1 level doesn't get you anything besides our admiration and support, but $5 level, you get one bonus episode per month. So Matt, let's thank these supporters. Oh, and you can do that at patreon.com/excellentadventure.
Yeah.
All right. You ready?
Email. Hang on. Almost. Yes. Okay. Thank you. What am I coughing? Britt S. Baker.
Josephine W.
Anonymous.
Ariana Perry.
Bethany.
Bonnie L.
Brittany Dyer.
Carol Balala McNamara.
Catherine Field.
Cecily Templeton.
Christina.
Christina Keller.
Happy New Year to Diane M. Martin.
Elizabeth Motley.
Emily F.
Aaron Riley.
Gretchen.
Jenna Marie Nelson of the Doug Loves Movies tweet.
Oh, look at that. A patron and my new agent. Jennifer Austin.
Jennifer Zayas.
Kelly Davis.
Luciana.
Maria Baker.
Mary Jo George.
Melissa Bozeman.
Mike.
Nassim Kansari.
Olivia Fahey.
Adina L.
Alicia.
Dawn.
Katie Allen.
Lane and Kate Sepala.
Mickey Smith.
Mimi Steinberg.
Ronit Mazzoni.
Sanctuary Moon.
And Tyler R. was surprised by new Doctor Who specials.
Does that mean that he was didn't know they were coming out and then was surprised to see them?
It could mean so many things.
Did he watch them and was surprised by how they went? Interesting. Great questions all around.
All right. Thanks,
I started
everybody.
The first one, and then I, like, because it was on Disney Plus, and then Henry, like, I just never could, never finished it. I'm annoyed at myself. I got to pick it back up. Okay. You know what it is? It's by the time I get into, by the time it's, like, nighttime to watch something, I'm, like, I'm too tired. Do you know what I mean?
I do like know what
watch
you
during
mean.
The day, but like here we are, it's 8:39 p.m. and I think both of us are very sleepy.
I'm pretty tired.
Are you accountable to anybody today? Have you done your 10 minutes?
No, I'm going to do them after this. But I did do the other thing that I said I would do on Sunday nights, which is set my writing schedule for the week and put it in my calendar.
That's interesting, too. I like it. Wow. All right. Let's see what happens, everybody. Tune in next week.
I hope this has given you some accountability inspo.
It certainly has, honestly.
I'm glad.
I'm sort of excited about it. The idea of being accountable to someone again.
All right.
Instead of riding into the sunset.
I can't wait. All right. Bye.
Bye.